Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Christmas. Christmas is gifts and smiles, a few dozen Christmas cards maybe. Christmas is that endless dinner, having the best-looking tree on your block. Christmas is long red stockings and a Santa Claus to fill them up. It's Aunt Nellie giggling under the mistletoe and Uncle George offering a toast. And Christmas is, well, Christmas is a lot more. To millions of Christians, it's a birthday. Not their birthday, but still the most important birthday in their lives. But time is funny, and 2,000 years can either mold a man's faith or cloud one's faith slowly, efficiently. Join us for the next few minutes as we combine modern methods of radio news reporting with the Christmas story. Not to joke, perhaps to entertain, but most importantly, to remind.
The place, Joppa, a Palestinian town on the Great Sea. The time, well, I guess you'd call it the year zero. At the sound of the gong, the shadow on the sundial will be pointing due east.
From the Palestinian Broadcast Center here in Joppa, BC News is on the air. Here with the latest news, sports, and weather is Marcus Leviticus.
Thank you, Vicious. And here are the headlines at this hour. An unidentified flying object, termed a miracle star by several frightened shepherds, has been sighted over south-central Palestine. At least five persons have been killed in a freak chariot crash at the Mount of Olives. Scores of holy men are routed by fire from the Holy Temple in downtown Jerusalem. In sports, Herod's Harriers defeat Caesar's Couriers in the third round of the Palestinian relays being held in Bethel. Chilly temperatures and clear skies extend from the plain of Sharon to the Jordan River. Weather Central up in Samaria says we'll be getting more of the same tomorrow. The present lakefront temperature here along the Great Sea, 34 degrees. And those are the headlines. We'll have details after this message.
The news is brought to you by Tobar's Toga Softener. Itch no more, try Tobar. Safe and soft, Tobar is economical, too. Add a pinch of Tobar to your family wash, and those long camel trips into the desert become cooler, softer, less of a drain on you and your camel. Economical? Very. Pick up Tobar at Caesar's Swap Shop for little more than a pair of holy sandals. Tobar's Toga Softener. Itch no more. Try Tobar. Back to you, Marcus.
Unconfirmed reports from the south-central Palestinian countryside say an unidentified flying object is tracing out an erratic pattern in the night sky. Frightened shepherds are calling the object, reported to be brighter than other heavenly bodies, a miracle star. King Herod reportedly has launched an investigation into that sighting. BC News is beginning its own investigation. Newsman Pius Macarius is headed west by chariot to intercept the so-called miracle star, if indeed it exists at all. A former troubleshooter for King Herod was one of five persons believed killed in a freak chariot crash at the Mount of Olives. Claudius Iscariot, one-time henchman for the Judean king, his wife and three children plunged off the mountain road after they were sideswiped by a runaway chariot. The Iscariot family was returning home from a party in Jericho thrown by Suppius, a disabled grape crusher. Suppius is a noted enemy of Herod, and since no driver has been found for the runaway chariot, Judean traffic inspectors have begun a homicide investigation. We may now be able to shed some light on King Herod's investigation of that UFO we mentioned earlier. For a direct report, we switch you to BC's Jerusalem Bureau Chief, Cyrus McCormis.
I have just learned that three high-ranking officials are investigating the miracle star after a stopover here at Herod's royal temple to confer with the king. But confusion surrounds their mission. According to one report, the officials are a trio of kings from the east who came to investigate the sighting on their own initiative. The trio was reportedly detained by Herod's troops. On the other hand, a source close to the king told me the trio is launching an investigation on orders from the king himself. Now, this may be a smokescreen. When asked why the trio was venturing into the darkened countryside with what appeared to be priceless treasures, my source said, "No comment." The smartly dressed trio was headed south by southwest when it left here in pursuit of the so-called Miracle Star. From my vantage point, I can confirm that a UFO has been sighted, but with my limited scientific background, I can only comment that it appears to be a weird phenomenon. It's difficult to determine the UFO's exact direction, but it may pass over Bethlehem during the night. This is Cyrus McCormis, BC News, at the Royal Temple in Jerusalem.
Thank you, Cyrus. At another temple in Jerusalem, this one in the downtown section, arson is believed to be the cause of an extra-alarm blaze which has just been brought under control. Firemen from nearby Ramah, Bethany, Nicopolis, and Emmaus helped the Jerusalem Fire Department extinguish the blaze. Pharisees and scribes were trying to iron out long-standing religious differences when that fire broke out. A 73-year-old scribe was slightly injured when his toga caught fire. A bearded teenager carrying a picket sign calling for the elimination of hypocrites was seen speeding from the scene by donkey. And it could only happen in Nicopolis. Two street vendors, one from Ramah, the other from Bethany, were selling their wares in Nicopolis on the same day. "I wouldn't serve your wine to my mother-in-law," shouted Corporate Goldius. "I wouldn't dust my house with your togas," came the reply from Fistol Blattis. The insults flew for 3 hours, until, in a final all-or-nothing challenge, Blattis and Goldius took their carts to opposite ends of the main street. Sandals flapping and togas flying, the two vendors pushed their fully loaded carts on a collision course. Olive branches cracked, fruit flew in all directions, and wine vats rolled down the street. Amid the mess, slightly bruised, sat Blattis and Goldius. Well, the disgruntled pair had had enough. A handshake, a merger, and by the time the Nicopolis police arrived, a large fruit-stained sign heralded the opening of Goldie Blattis. I've just received word that our reporter investigating the alleged miracle star has an interview with one of the first shepherds to have seen that phenomenon. We switch you now to BC newsman Pius Macarius.
Thank you, Marcus. I'm about 5 miles southeast of Nicopolis, and I can see the strange object south of me now in the night sky. With me is 59-year-old Kesley Aris, a shepherd. He's one of the first people to spot the object. Sir, when did you first see the UFO?
Well, about 10 minutes after this weird glowing figure appeared out in the field.
Well, then this miracle star wasn't the first strange vision you had this evening.
Oh, right. Before the miracle star appeared, my friends and I were given, a kind of a lecture by, something of...
Well, what were you doing when this glowing figure spoke to you?
Oh, well, watching over my flock by night, of course.
And what did this creature say?
Well, first it told us to cool it a little, to calm down. Then it said we should be happy because a child was being born. But now I come from a family of 10 brothers and sisters, and births don't mean a whole lot to me anymore.
Well, did the creature say what was so important about this birth?
Well, it had something to do with a little boy that we should go and praise.
Doesn't that strike you as odd?
Well, yes, in a way it does, but you know the way Caesar runs this country. You're either born a king or born a shepherd.
What happened after this, after the glowing figure spoke to you?
It vanished, and a few other shepherds and I tried to figure out if what we saw was what we thought it was, or if we smoked too many olive branches. But a bit later, that miracle star appeared in the southwest, and we started thinking about what that bright thing said, and, well, we started following the star.
Following it? What about your flock? You must have more than 200 sheep.
Oh, I don't think they wanted to see what was
going on. No. I mean, won't they stray?
Oh, sure they will. But they can't go far, and I'll put in some overtime tomorrow.
Well, as I talk to you, the miracle star has stopped drifting. It's brighter than ever. It's a huge glow just hanging in the sky about 5 miles southwest of us. I'd say it's probably above or, at least near Bethlehem. Mr. Aris, you mind if I walk over there with you?
No, glad to have some company.
This is Pius Macarius, en route to whatever that miracle star has parked itself over, reporting for BC News.
Thank you, Pius. Turning now to other more important news. If you're alive and living in this world, Caesar wants to know about it. The ruler says a census should be taken of the entire world. Augustus reportedly is laying down the groundwork for a more efficient system of collecting taxes. The announcement comes amid fears of a possible recession in Palestine, marked by rising taxes and unemployment and skyrocketing prices in the fish and ointment industries. Says Augustus, "How can I be sure we're collecting all the taxes when nobody knows how many people I rule?" Despite heavy criticism, Caesar's decree becomes effective immediately. The administration says there aren't enough census takers to go around, so it's bagpacking time, and all subjects should travel to their hometowns to register. Water pollution in the news again. According to a BC News survey of fisheries released from NGD today, the Dead Sea brought forth 2.5 million less fish last year than it did in the fiscal year of 3 to 2 BC. The fish drop-off comes despite a population explosion in the Dead Sea area. Lazarus Crepitas, a fisherman who has worked the Dead Sea for 123 years, says the drop-off will increase next year unless Caesar stops channeling garbage from the Royal Palace into the sea. Crepitas predicts that within... Ladies and gentlemen, our reporter following that so-called miracle star wants to file a late report. We switch you now to Pius Macarius.
Marcus, I'm at a loss for words. We've just come to a clearing in the valley before us. Well, it's strange. It's beautiful. It's a snow-covered wonderland. And the mystery star. Well, Marcus, that mystery star has stopped. It's lighting up the entire valley. It's right above an old shack, a beautiful old shack. And Marcus, I'm getting warmer. Warmer? Marcus, this doesn't make sense. It can't get warmer at this time of year. And why is the valley so bright? It's the middle of the night. The shepherd I'm with is now making his way into the valley, and he's being joined by others, by shepherds, innkeepers, slaves, and a few, not many, but a few very well-dressed curiosity seekers. And they're all being drawn toward that stable. But I can't imagine why they're being...
Pius, I must break in. I find this report just a bit hard to believe. But who... Is there somebody singing around? Do we have a bad connection or something? Pius, what's going on out there?
I can't answer that, Marcus. Yes, there is music, singing. An unearthly sound, too beautiful to describe. But I don't know where it's coming from. Marcus, this is weird. Strange things, Marcus. Strange, beautiful creatures floating down from the sky. That's where the music's coming from, but what are they? They're beautiful. All floating toward that shed, that weather-beaten old shed. Marcus, I'm going down there. I've got to see what's going on. Tell everybody to come, Marcus, because you must see this for yourself. That UFO or mystery star, the glowing figures that those shepherds saw, this beautiful warm valley, the singing, people all around, mysterious heavenly figures in the sky, all being drawn toward this stable in Bethlehem. Marcus, this isn't just a news story. It's a miracle.
Almost 2,000 years later, here in Chicago, this is Carl Grayson. I hope you enjoyed the Christmas story as it may have been reported had radio existed 2,000 years ago, and perhaps we combined two miracles, the technical miracle of radio news reporting and of modern electronics, and the greatest of all miracles, the Christmas story. I hope you were reminded of what Christmas is all about. Without ornaments, without trees, without presents. On behalf of news writer Jim Dish, this is Carl Grayson and the entire WGN family wishing you all a very Merry Christmas.